You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Stugatz, as we build out the stuff that we're trying to build out over the next few years on YouTube and beyond, I should tell people, as we are live on Mondays and Tuesdays, that the hope is at some point that we can be doing this every day for you. What are you pointing at, Mike Ryan?
Patrick Beverly is now running cameras on GetUp.
Yep.
He's not leaving. Never.
I mean, he's got a career job.
You got to show your value, man. I can do it all.
Yep.
He's going to make entertaining television with them. You guys were asking whether you think Stephen A. likes that because Patrick Beverly is coming for the throne or taking the ESPN had to burp out a whole lot of content yesterday. Had to burp out, around Patrick Beverly with no games yesterday.
And they did it well.
And they did it exceptionally well, and Patrick Beverly did it for them. He went on television, and he was maximum Patrick Beverly, and never before have 11 points a game or whatever it is. He's never shot more than 43%, never scored more than 12 points as an average in a game.
So what? He's entertaining.
But he's doing the camera work, and he's doing the same thing that got him from Ukraine and... And where else was Greece that he was playing that got him to the NBA, gets him now on television. He hustled his way into a job. He is sitting across from J.J. Redick, another breakout star on First Take.
Now he's there. Stephen A. is not. Stephen A. is not on the First Take desk right now, but Patrick Beverly, he's replaced him.
He's very relaxed. He's very comfortable on television. So, Mad Dog Stugatz, what are you pointing at and laughing?
Whoa, Stephen A. is there.
Oh, there he is.
Oh, he's coming remotes. With sunglasses and a white jacket.
He's here.
He's here in Miami.
Oh my God.
He's
here.
Guess who has the Eastern Conference rights?
What's he eating?
Breakfast bun.
He loves Miami, man.
Is that a fake background behind him? That's a fake background behind him. That's not real.
Well, that's a real background.
Yeah. Wow, bienvenidos a Miami.
That's Brickell Key.
Wow.
That's the Mandarin. I got married there.
He's eating some papaya.
Huh.
He's wearing a white jacket. And so you're asking me whether he's enjoying what First Take was yesterday? Stugatz, he's come. I think he's eating fresh fruit from a bowl, and he's happy. He's wearing a white jacket purposefully because he's in Miami. He actively makes picks all the time, hoping that Miami will win so that he could come to Miami, so he has an excuse to come to Miami.
You think he's going to the Panther game or the Heat game?
I think he's intimidated by Patrick Beverly. Eating fruit the next day is kind of like, I'm so comfortable that I'm going to try to go over the top of showing how comfortable I am.
Right.
That means he's actually a little nervous by Patrick
Correct.
Beverly.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I see it.
I'm with you.
So you can watch us watch First Take. I think that's a whole new show we should start doing. Just us doing Mystery Science Theater on First Take. But one of the things I wanted to get to here, because I was stunned that it made an appearance during the break. We were talking, and Chris Cody, the two Chrises shocked me during the break. I learned, and I don't know which one is more shocking, Stugatz, you tell me.
Okay.
That Chris Cody walked into a soccer practice of a soccer draft of 4, 5, and 6-year-olds and tried to cheat and had a board and was very prepared for the drafting.
Cheating is a stretch.
5, 6-year-olds.
I think he just tried to be prepared. I don't think he was cheating.
Well, he had a whiteboard though. Okay.
All right, what happened was I got a packet of 89 kids, all 5 and 6 year olds, some 4,
right.
A couple 4-year-olds, but mostly 5 and 6.
A packet.
Yes, you're a soccer coach. Let them know that on the front end.
You're not just walking around with a bunch of kids. Names on a sheet. Yeah.
Careful, like, care about
right, we had a draft.
You're picking a team. Correct.
Yes.
Right.
I'm super excited.
For soccer.
For soccer.
There we go. That's the part we soccer. Need to
it's right. Honestly stop. One of the things I've been looking for.
You know what? Chris Cody, I need you to stop talking for a second. And Billy, can you put the disclaimer here?
Hold on a second.
Just so that everyone knows, because again, we're hoping to be live all the time, and there are perils in that, especially when Chris Cody is barreling through things without context.
Chris Cody is a youth soccer coach, possibly for his daughter's team, depending on the outcome of the draft.
Yep.
Yesterday was the league draft, and there were, I believe he said, 89 kids available that they had to choose from for the different teams. So yesterday, Chris Cody, as a coach, had to go select his team.
So you had a packet. Were there bios?
It was literally just their name, whether they're a boy or girl, because since they're so young, it's co-ed.
Right.
Their age, exactly, like it was like 5.6, 5.9.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is where I got a lot of my info. Their shirt and pant size. Small, medium, large. Like,
well, this is why I think you were cheating.
No, it's not cheating. Look,
I think it's cheating. I had never done this before.
Or it's smart.
I had never done this before. I didn't know if every coach in there was going to be like ready to go. So I made a list of like the six year olds, the ones who wear the mediums and the lards. I just like, how else could I do it with this list?
You want a big team.
I was just like, you know, my daughter's team. Maybe you're a little small, so I want to balance.
At that age, Dan, the biggest team usually wins. Right. I mean,
and so I walk in with a separate. I had the packet, and then I had a separate sheet that I had. Listed probably 20 or 30 kids that were just, I was eyeing them. I was eyeing these kids.
Based on size?
For soccer.
Again, he's a soccer coach drafting
again,
a team.
Again, Chris, we need some context here. We're live on YouTube.
Easy, Chris.
Easy, Chris.
You need to just keep...
I had to go through a background check to do this. Does that make you guys feel better about this?
No.
No, none of this. Your judgment is very poor.
What? I don't know what's happening right now. I don't know what
it's
to
okay.
say.
I'm
just
okay.
Yes, just keep pushing
keep
forward.
Keep going. Yeah. We got you. Don't worry about it.
It's something I've been looking forward to more than anything as a parent is coaching my daughter in a sport. I'm so excited about it. So I overprepared, and I went in there, and nobody else had a list. I was the only person who prepared a list. So everyone
on whiteboard. But this is not this. I want to pair this against something because I also learned during the break that Chris Whittingham enjoys a mosh pit, which we all found shocking.
No way.
All of us were talking about a mosh pit and being on the periphery of a mosh pit because you don't want to really get in there. And Whittingham's like, nope, I went in chest first and shoulder first, and I was looking for contact because there was someone who brought contact my way, and then it was a duel. Now I imagine that going into a mosh pit with a fencing glove, but no.
Wait, are we talking about the same, like, is there
the same Chris Whittingham?
No, is there like a fruit or vegetable called a mosh with a pit that he likes?
Imagine him pulling a kerchief out of one of his shirt pockets and slapping someone across the face with it. I did not have you for a mosh pit. So which one's more surprising, though? When I tell you both of those things are so. Chris Cody walking into a drafting of five-year-olds and trying to cheat with a whiteboard, or Chris Whittingham enjoying a mosh pit?
Whittingham by far. I mean, I think that would be unanimous to our listeners, to everyone involved with the show, right?
It took some coaxing because mosh pits are intimidating, especially to the uninitiated. But generally, mosh pits are awfully considerate given the mass of bodies. There's always that one guy.
Right.
Yeah. There's always the one that has been circled the calendar, decides to release all that bottled up angst.
Not in the pit to be nice.
And starts swinging back fists around. Yeah. And it's just, dude, I'm trying to have fun. And just want to mix it up a little shoulder to shoulder. If I fall, you pick me up, all that kind of stuff. And there's that one person that just moves the entire pit. I mean, at this show, there was that one guy, so we tried to keep
it. He's always
distance.
So bony.
So bony.
Right. It's elbows. Just like, right. Like the shoulder has like a, it
sharp.
Hits you.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, it's
knives.
Stabs. Yeah. It stabs it's
because
you.
Sharp. Yeah.
All that person's
like
had
Al Horford.
For dinner over the last 11 years has been Slurpees and Doritos. It's just beef jerky and Slurpee.
Beef jerky describes what he eats and what he is.
Yeah.
He's just,
It's just been that's a three-course meal. It's all beef jerky and Slurpee. It's just three courses. But they always put out a bad vibe, and usually the group kind of calms them down over the course of the show. But I was very surprised that Whitty mixed it up, and he got in there, threw some shoulders, used his size. You'd like to see it.
You seem to know a lot about the guy in the mosh pit who likes to do that.
Yeah, I mean, because I've been in several mosh pits.
Right.
I like rock music, and
it's
I don't want it. No, it's not me. It's not me.
Put it on the
I've
poll.
Gotten jacked up in mosh pits.
Really?
Before. Yeah.
Sounds unpleasant. Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. Do you enjoy a mosh pit? I don't think most people will say that they enjoy a mosh pit, especially when you got old scissor elbows guy dominating the mosh.
The best mosh pit I've ever been to. And I've been at like some random ones, but... Deftones, I'm a huge Deftones fan, and they randomly played a Lollapalooza. It's not typically something that they do. And they were covering Katy Perry's Firework.
Wow.
And you could tell all the
it's
bros
song,
that brought their wives, their high school sweethearts over to see Deftones because this is a band of their youth. And it's a bit of an older crowd, but also they still kind of rock. And people go there to like throw shit and get crazy. And so you could tell everybody that's a legacy Deftones fan because they were swatting bottles out of the air trying to protect their women. all while a cover of Katy Perry's Firework was going off.
I kind of maybe could follow Roy along the path earlier where he said in the earlier hours that he didn't know some of these like rock bands from like the late 90s, early 2000s. He's claiming that he doesn't know Katy Perry's Firework, which is impossible.
Lies.
With a daughter, Roy, Madagascar, it's impossible that you don't know Firework.
The problem with what's happening with you is every damn time that we need something, hey, who was the co-producer on that episode 6 of Different Strokes in 1983? you produced the name all of a sudden, so it doesn't stand to reason. Like, a part of your brain works to keep a great deal of minutia. Every time we have a question, you're faster than the computers on some silly pop culture nonsense that doesn't matter. And here, pop culture is seeping into your ears in songs that anyone would recognize, and somehow you don't know what anybody's talking about.
Music is not my forte, Dan, unfortunately, and I apologize.
That's right. You tell him, Roy. Hockey is.
I do know one Deftones song, and it's in the system. They did a Sade
But how many Katy Perry?
Zero.
I'm sorry.
I don't believe
she performed at the Super Bowl.
That means what to me?
You watch the Super Bowl. It's the Super Bowl. What is a Super Bowl?
You're going through the
it means
stats,
it's a Super Bowl.
I mean, I don't pay attention to halftime
show. I did pay attention to this year's halftime show.
That's it.
Well, hold on a second.
What does the Super Bowl mean to me? Are you mad?
Do you watch the commercials during the Super Bowl?
I do, yes.
And remembers every single one of them.
No, that's right. I'm sorry. He doesn't watch the Super Bowl.
That's Zach Braff, Donald Faison commercial for T-Mobile.
Oh, you're just trying to get on their podcast.
And that was a musical. One too.
Yeah.
Katy Perry's in commercial. You don't. You know who Katy Perry is.
This is an expert troll, by
the way. Yes.
You got me good. I know. I'm on to you. You're just f***ing with me.
I mark that. I am not. I'm not.
It seems like you. It seems impossible that you would just at this part of your brain.
I have a 4th of July playlist. You want it?
Sure. Yeah. Give me that playlist.
Come on, let your girls words make him go.
Oh.
I thought I said up. Shoot across the sky.
So that's the song she's screaming in. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Coming back to you?
Boom.
Yes, it's starting to come back.
Okay, good.
That was the mosh pit. I aired, though, because Billy was cackling in the face of Chris Cody about some of this soccer draft stuff.
Well, and how did it go? You didn't tell us how the draft went.
I don't know. How could I know after? I had a list of 9 kids' names. I've like never seen them play before.
Okay, so you went in with a list and you had a strategy based on shirt size, I think you said, right?
I mean, what else could I judge?
So do you have the tallest team?
I did take, like, there was one Matthew. I don't want to say. I'm not going to say names.
Yeah, no, definitely.
At least you didn't start to say most of it.
This is why live is dangerous. All of a sudden, Matty Ice is getting dragged. A 6-year-old is getting dragged.
Who Chris thinks like a 6'6" but he may not be.
Wait, so tell us about Matty. He was tall?
He's tall.
Okay.
He wears a large shirt. I want that kid. That doesn't mean tall, necessarily.
Ever seen The Big Green? I mean.
I do need a goalie.
Chris.
Did you pick older kids, too? Because you had their age. Did you go for, like, high fives or whatever?
I have 1 4-year-old, which is my daughter, 1 6-year-old, and all 5-year-olds.
You took your daughter first, I'm assuming.
I knew that I could take her, so might have taken her 6th round. Nobody else can take her. It's actually
out
a smart
of how many?
9.
With the final pick.
Out of nobody else. Who's going to draft my daughter? As soon as they say her name, I could say, that's my daughter.
She's Mrs. Irrelevant?
Yes.
Wow. They don't even have celebrities make those picks anymore in the draft.
I'm sorry, Whittingham. I'm sorry.
He gave it to me. I threw it back to him because I can't pronounce that.
Okay, so you were scared of Miss Irrelevant?
Yes.
It was Mrs. He was scared of.
Woman. Chris, you got a big team. You drafted a big team. You did. You ransacked the laundry of children.
I mean, yeah, I did.
He got Matty. I mean,
he got a large team. Yeah. We don't know.
No. See, how. I didn't go all large. I wanted balance. I went boys, girls.
The bulk
small,
of your roster
medium,
is 5-year-olds.
Large. The bulk is 5-year-olds.
How does this play out, just out of curiosity? Did it go through your mind? How does this play out if you get home and you tell your wife, hey, I'm back from the draft. Bad news. I didn't pick our daughter because she wasn't around anymore.
But that would have never happened because I'm her dad. Like, I would have been, that's my daughter. She's on my team. Like, I went through a loop. Like, everybody picked their kids first, and I just did the whole thing. It was my first time.
You knew you were getting your daughter.
In my back pocket, I had, this is my first time. I didn't, I forgot. Like, I had that in my back pocket. So I needed to get Maddie.
What if
Chris, it's a great thing to have in your back pocket.
What if you're like this secret genius that this whole time just like when something's like, oh, I didn't know, like I forgot, I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, Chris is new at this. You know what I mean?
Yep. You get it.
But you need a keeper.
Yeah. I do need a keeper.
Okay.
Well, I got
sixth round. Put it on the poll at
She's never played before. I've never seen her play. She's
totally fair. Right.
And she's a small.
She's got to show you something.
Yeah.
She is wearing a small, too.
Yeah. So, I mean, come on.
You can't burn a first round pick on your daughter there when she's a 4-year old and you've never seen her play.
She's on a prove it contract.
10-day contract, for sure.
Exactly. Guillermo, put it on the poll. Is it right to have a 4-year old on a 10-day prove-it contract?
It might be a cup of coffee.
she's
your own 4-year-old, by the way.
She's going to complain about her minutes, and it's going to say it's politics that you're playing the 6-year-old Matty Ice because you drafted him higher.
First game, my daughter on the bench. Stugatz, you know this move. What? My daughter can't start
first
game.
You got to overcompensate, yes.
Yep. I don't want people to be like, oh, he's playing his daughter. First game, she starts on the bench.
What
Sorry, kid.
I think there are dangers in general of coaching your daughter when she's the worst one on the team and you draft her last.
Well, that's not crazy. She's actually
sneaky good, right?
Stevie, what's a kid's name? Who's the bad kid that you got?
Oh, I don't know how good any of them are. I'm telling you, I know my daughter is going
to
be decent.
You were just rummaging through laundry. I mean, I want you guys to imagine, okay, Chris Cody trying to get an advantage in a salary cap sport. and he's like, you know what? How can I outsmart my opponent? I'm going to go into this area here and be an adult person who's rummaging around in the laundry of children to measure their sizes, to see if I can get a secret advantage because I want to have a big team that pounds you, clubs you.
There was also all the coaches were talking about this one kid. They're like, this kid, really good, 6-year-old, played for a couple seasons, but the parents.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
I took him. Good. I'll deal with it.
No, you deal with the parents.
I'll deal with it.
Character issues,
I'll
huh?
I'll handle the parents.
And now you have to set the expectations. Hey, I'm the coach. You're the parents. You cheer. Mm-hmm. I coach.
That's right.
Leave me alone.
Mm-hmm. I hope
say it on the front end.
Yeah.
Or tell them you'll bench the kid.
I hope there's a couple 6-year-olds on your team, because if not, now the parents know that they're a problem.
Well, let's see. Yeah, he's my 1 6-year-old.
Okay.
They don't know. People don't know what I do. Yeah.
They're not watching now. You're not giving away company secrets. There's not an opposing coach who's trying to get an advantage over you, who's watching, waiting for you to let down your guard.
Commiserating, yeah.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stopped, opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text SUNNY to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text SUNNY to 200-300. That's SUNNY to 200-300. SUNNY to 200-300.
Don Lebatard.
Listen, it could be Julius Randle's building.
How about that?
The Mecca.
Or is Julius the Mecca?
Stugatz.
Steve Martin was a prop comic.
You said that?
I said it 2 seconds earlier than you.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
They're presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code Dan for a special offer when you sign up. That's code Dan, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
The praise is pouring in, Stugatz, for yesterday. For yesterday's show at Lebatard Show.
Sorry.
On that Too Many Men segment, WTF is this shit? I'm out. No one cares.
Is that guy?
Thank you for giving it a chance, sir. Thank you for trying to support as long as you could that the women who do the Too Many Men podcast, and we'll be doing it 4 days a week for the Lebatard and Friends Network. If you care about hockey, Stugatz, and you care about saying something more than just, oh, best time of year, if you actually want it covered well, the Too Many Men segment, it's not a segment, it's a podcast, and you should check that out because I did a disservice to them yesterday and not launching with more public enthusiasm because hockey is not my thing and I did not know who they were, but I enjoyed listening to them talk and I enjoyed them agreeing with your assertion that that the men don't know what they're talking about. You just threw out there that men cover hockey poorly and I'm like, they do? Why?
And they all agree with me.
They did all agree with you, so check that out. But I make a living talking about sports, but the game's 3 hours start too late for me to stay awake.
Is that guy?
8:45 tonight.
Ugh.
Eastern Conference Finals.
If we're lucky, 8:45.
Why do they list 8:30 and start the game at 8:45? Who is this for?
It's 8:48. Really.
Commercials to trick you in.
I got the notice. It's 8:45.
It's just to get you to watch those 18 minutes, isn't it?
Bullshit. Like the biggest sporting biggest sporting events in the world.
This is just back to soccer.
No, it is because the Champions League final starts at 3 p.m. and you know when the ball is kicked at 3 p.m. 0000. There is not a second later than when they advertise the kickoff of that game.
The problem is it starts 0-0 and ends 0-0. I mean.
But isn't the whole thing? Isn't the whole thing?
Sorry, Woody.
You're not sorry.
I'm not.
It's just so adorable. The only way you want to discuss soccer ever is to make 0-0 jokes.
Someone score a goal. They went all the way to Mexico. No one scored.
You don't have a third note. Give me the third note on your soccer takes. It is soccer is dead.
Shep Messing.
Or 0-0.
And Shep Messing. I mean, that's it. The arrows. I mean, how about that? Indoor soccer, man. That's the last time everyone started telling me soccer is back. You remember that? The Cosmos, the Arrows, Shep Messing, Giorgio Canalia. Oh, it was a good time. Franz Beckenhammer.
Beckenbauer. That's
whatever. He was a keeper, right?
Defender.
Should have been a keeper. Great reflexes. Keepers play defense, don't they? I mean, kind of. It's like a fourth defender, right?
Depending on the system, fourth or fifth.
Thank you. See,
what size shirt did he wear?
XL.
Someone else writes in relation to what it is that I said about Tom Brady, because people really do think I am hating on Tom Brady because he hasn't gotten it in front of a microphone. He's not someone who says things like I don't even mean it as it's just matter of fact. It's purposeful. Like he's been in disguise. I'm not saying he's not interesting. He probably is from what I've seen him, with his social media teams and with the artists who are working to craft what will be his image the rest of the way. I've actually seen interesting things. And if he's willing to show us those that would be cool because he's very well crafted and manicured.
He's starting to say some stuff. Like, damn, when he left New England, he went on the Howard Stern show. His social media is excellent. Like, I find some charm in that. I find some humor in that.
He has figured out how to brand manage. Like, of course, he would be at the forefront of all the pioneering Stugatz. Like, once he learns the LeBron lessons of, wait a minute, I can own all this shit. I don't have to share any of this. Wait a minute. It's not the Patriots. It's not anybody else. It's this whole football system is salary capped. I mean, wait a minute. I don't need any of these people. I'm the greatest winner ever. I'm not going to be caged by this thing. My wife's a supermodel who makes more money than me. I'm going to be a power couple that dominates Hollywood, that dominates everything, media, all of it. So I don't mean to say anything but the matter of fact when I say
that he makes a lot of money for doing something we haven't seen proof that he can do. But here comes another angry comment. Dan, there are a million guys who say what you say, my cousins included. I look forward to hearing what Tom Brady has to say. The money means nothing. Entertainers just get paid outrageous sums. Just hoping for some true insight from you. Time will tell. You might actually be correct.
Is that guy?
That's not going to be fun waiting for you to be right.
Exactly. That's not the way that
you're wrong now.
This is not the way to do this. You might be correct is the next advent of First Take, I think. You might be correct is not the way to do this, sir. Stugatz, I wanted to ask you this as somebody, you're a big golf fan, and furthermore, you have been very publicly somebody who has been pro Phil Mickelson, and it was a cool moment to highlight in golf probably over the last 10 years when he becomes the oldest winner of the PGA Championship, right, of a major, the yes. oldest winner ever at the age of 50, came out of nowhere a bit, right, because and brought back the old lefty.
No one was expecting what Phil Mickelson did just a year ago at the PGA, so no one was expecting it, and I am a fan of Phil Mickelson. I do like Phil Mickelson.
But the thing that I wanted to ask you, because that was a year ago.
Yeah.
And if he hasn't been canceled, he's on his way to something that feels like cancellation, and he really did great harm to him, his brand, and his legacy with the casualness and the coldness that he described the idea of teaming up to make more money. Even though, Stugatz, I would be on the side of him when he's talking about creating something outside of the PGA Tour that allows Mickelson to realize the same thing Brady did. Wait a minute. I'm my own economy. I don't need some of these things. The straps, the machine that makes the money off of me, I don't need it. I can team up with seven me's and I can start my own golf league and I can challenge the machine, the institution, the way it's been done.
What he's objecting to with the PGA Tour is they own part of his social media, the NFT stuff, the digital stuff, all stuff that he thinks he should have a greater ownership in. Now, people probably agree with that on tour. They'd like to have more control of that stuff. But really what this has turned into, besides the bad comments that he made, Phil, is that Phil has gambling debts. And this particular new golf league, Dan, they offer Jack Nicklaus, $100 million to be an ambassador.
Stugatz, it's dirty money, okay? It's dirty money. I don't need to normalize hacking to death a journalist with a bone saw. Like, it's blood money. And Mickelson, it's one thing to take it. It's another thing to make the arguments that are cold, that are like, yeah, bone saw, whatever, but where's my money? And now you got a gambling problem on top of that. And some of this stuff gets problematic, man, because like, I really love talking to Greg Norman. I'm so tired of not being able to talk to some of these hugely interesting people that I want to talk to because Ric Flair has some awful allegations in his past that, you know, of how he treated a wife or, you know, Greg Norman. I can't talk to him anymore because he's out here talking that bullshit of, well, people make mistakes. Fuck out of here, man. Come on. People make mistakes on a bone saw killing a journalist. Because you want to take their money. Like, you could have done it quietly. You said the quiet part out loud. Like, what do you mean? Yeah, people make mistakes. Bone saw. You're bone sawing a journalist to death isn't a mistake. So it's blood money. And it's in your sports. And these guys could have done it quietly. But they couldn't even do that. They couldn't even do that. If they have to go into the waters of like, no, I need to defend the blood money I'm going to take. And now one of them's got a gambling problem. And it's a gambling problem that's, you know, I mean, $40 million in 4 years, Stugatz. Like, I don't even understand how that happened.
It's insane. And it's a bad look for Norman, and it's a bad look for Mickelson. I don't know if we should applaud them for at least saying, hey, we'll take the money, because there's a lot of PGA Tour players, Ricky Fowler included, that are interested in joining that professional golf league. But the PGA has made a stance here, and they're like, listen, you want to go. Get the hell out of here. No, leave us alone. No, you're not playing in the majors, though.
Stugatz, let's let this is a legend. This is a golfing icon at 50, tripping over the finish line. He got his sweet moment.
This was supposed to be a big weekend for Phil.
He's avoiding it. He's hiding. And I don't blame him. He doesn't want the questions about the gambling.
Agreed.
Like, he is hiding. He is not there to defend what was a signature moment in his career because of what is his gambling debt. And now, this is one book on the gambling. The next one, Billy Walters, the gambler? Like, there's another book Armin Katayan is working on that is supposed to have worse stuff on Phil Mickelson. And you go in 1 year, look how fast that can happen. It's a handful of words, and it's just not being discreet. It's like you now have coming into your life disgrace. There's not going to be rebounding from this. He's losing sponsors. Sponsors are falling out.
He's losing fans too, Dan. I'm a big Phil Mickelson fan. I love to watch Phil Mickelson play golf. He's a great golfer, one of the greatest golfers that we've ever seen. But to suggest or say that I'm not disappointed, wasn't surprised. No, I'm upset with Phil Mickelson, and Phil Mickelson won't be, I love the majors, and Phil, it appears, will no longer, he wasn't at Augusta. He's not going to be there to defend the PGA. Now he's 51, so he's toward the end of his career, but I would have liked to seen Phil play out his career. He's not going to do that. And yeah, of course I'm upset with him because it's a ridiculous thing to say and a ridiculous thing to do when the perception is, hey, you've got all the money in the world and you can go earn more on the PGA Tour.
He could have done it is the thing, though, Stugatz. He just didn't have
to. He was too loud.
You didn't have to defend it.
Right.
Like, there's so much compromised money there and so many businesses that, yeah, it would have been okay. Somebody would have done the same. Not everyone is doing the moral decisions on song lyrics that they sang 20 years ago that they're now cleaning up because every decision now is a moral conundrum. But I do feel like it sucks to not just be able to call Greg Norman and talk to him honestly about any of this shit, because you can't talk to him honestly about anything. Because look at what Patrick Beverley does when it's honest. Like, it's not honesty what you're getting. So much of the crap you're consuming from these sports idols and heroes, it's just stuff that is protecting brand management.
But it's what you're being honest about, Dan. It's what you're being honest about. Beverly is being honest about benign things. Chris Paul, he's a cone. He's a bad defender. Everyone knows it. This is real life stuff that people actually care about. It was dumb, both by Greg Norman and Phil Mickelson.
But Dan, this is the point of the money. The money that these states throw into, quote, public investment funds is to wash their reputation using sports. Getting athletes to even muddy the waters is good enough, because if Greg Norman says, oh, they made mistakes, or tries to poke holes in the argument against the murdering of Jamal Khashoggi, all you have to do is muddy the waters to allow Saudi Arabia to eventually at some point be a part of mainstream, quote, mainstream sports. You pay these entities a lot of money to wash the reputation of Saudi Arabia. I also think it's worth noting that the PGA still welcome Phil Mickelson. He hasn't been canceled. As far as they say, he's the defending champion. He's currently eligible to be a PGA Life member, and we would have welcomed him to participate in this weekend's PGA Championship. He didn't want to do it.
He asked for a release for a certain tournament, as did other guys, by the way, in the PGA, and they said this a year ago. They said no. They said, if you want to go there, go play there. And if you want to play here, play here. But you ain't playing both. And eventually what they'll do, the guys who end up going to that league, they will not allow them to play in the majors. And that's what's most important to many of these golfers.
Can you forgive me, though? Can you just, as you know, people are being slaughtered in America, whether it's race-related or in churches, as people over the weekend are slaughtered in America, and in Buffalo you just get just awful, awful, heartbreaking, sick to your stomach video and audio and stories of black people being hunted, and this country, just not lacking a certain humanity when it comes to the equality of all humans. How do you get to a point, Stugatz, where Greg Norman and Phil Mickelson from the country club world of golf are so comfortable with the need to make money so they can buy more and more golf courses and have more and more opulence and spill $40 million over the bar in gambling debt in a 4-year period, that they would be okay with laundering money on the phrase bone sawing a journalist to death. No, man. Like, come on. Like, come on, Phil Mickelson and Greg Norman. Like, look at where you're coming from. And you're taking the dirty money. And if you want to take the dirty money, take the dirty money.
But you're surprised by greed and golfers being... Dan, hold on a second. And being insensitive to what's going on in the world from the PGA Tour?
While taking the money, Stugatz, and defending it publicly. And then when it comes to the questions of when you're going to defend your title, you got to go into hiding on all of it. Because you can't handle any of it. Because you were so sloppy and reckless with everything in your finances and whatever it is that made you a addicted to gambling, Stugatz. And I will say this. I'll put this on the poll, Guillermo, at Levitard Show. Who do you think is more prone to gambling addiction? Average human being or people who are hugely competitive as part of their identity?
Dan, I think they're two different stories, Norman and Phil. Norman is being paid to run the league, right? And he's being paid a lot of money. They offered Jack $100 million. He said no, and now Norman's taking it.
They're trying to go into partnership to launder and sanitize this blood money.
When I see Phil Mickelson and hear his comments, I hear a man that is desperate and in a very, very bad spot. I do. Just so desperate that he'd be willing to take that money because he has $40 million in gambling debts. Like, that's what I hear. It's insensitive. It's terrible. I'm upset with him. I'm not nearly the fan of his that I once was. And we'll see what happens here with Phil. But I think they're coming at it from two different standpoints.
Just the part that I find the lack of grace appalling, okay, Stugatz, in skipping over the mistakes with that craven agreed that you won't even do me the courtesy of concealing it better. You won't even do. You're trying to argue.
Well,
on
Mickelson
behalf of,
claims that he was.
Well, mistakes are mistakes, or right. People make mistakes. Like, I mean, come on, man. Like, it's such a bare minimum ask. I'm asking on grace and decency to just like, don't bullshit us so thoroughly that you also want me to believe that it wasn't a journalist being bone sawed to death for believing in something different than what the Saudis believed.
What do you make of WWE, a publicly traded company? Because we don't hold them to the standard that we hold the shark
at all.
To, because they've signed a multi-year agreement with the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia.
And the dirtier the sport, I mean, and MMA has as well, right? Like, the dirtier the sport, that, like, I won't have it normalized, like, Stugatz. Just that, and it's not okay. It's not okay to just.
But who's saying it's okay?
Stugatz, Mickelson, and Greg Norman are saying it's okay.
Well, Phil said what he said, and then he went away. And we haven't heard from Phil since. And we'll see if we hear from him again. What Norman said is patently absurd. I agree. What they both said is patently absurd.
I don't understand how they haven't taken pages out of WWE's book when they're ever pressed. No one holds them to the high standard. They're on investor calls, and it's just, well, this is how you make a difference. Incremental gains. We didn't have any women on the first card. Now women are regularly featured on the card, even though they have to dress appropriately. This is how we help change a culture. You have to respect them, but this is how you make progress in these places. It's not what you're really hearing Greg Norman on an island just like, I like money. What? Everyone's entitled to their way of life.
And it hurts, Mike, because I love that dude. The stories that guy has told on our show, he lives bigger and better than all of us. He lives life grander. He lives life.
You have to say it, though.
Grander. Life.
The accent is so great. I want to love him. He's got so much money. He's got islands and golf courses and helicopters and planes and yachts and Outback.
And a great nickname.
And body.
Mm-hmm.
And dong. As captured by Instagram in a way that we jocularly interviewed him and talked about his dong. He was so embarrassed. It was just there.
If you're just trying to be a big-time entity in business, we mentioned Fortune 500 companies. You can't be a Fortune 500 company without doing business in some countries that don't align with your morality, or at least your country's supposed morality. When you're counting on Greg Norman and Lefty to do your public bidding when they are not perfect and they don't have the big PR machine that publicly traded companies do, they're going to put their foot in their mouth a lot. And I kind of part of me does appreciate the honesty in that this is just a cash grab. Maybe you can separate things. I think it's a bridge too far for so many in art. For the vast
but
majority.
But it's grabbing cash from the wrong people.
Okay, but
no, yes, there's. I feel, but that's where the big time cash payday, there is a premium price on swallowing your morality. That is why we have a Thanksgiving World Cup this year. There is a premium put on these countries to get in the game to sports wash. We saw what Vladimir Putin did with sports washing over a World Cup and an Olympics. I kind of feel like we're repeating the same cycle, and we're making far more concessions for it. But this is how big-time capitalism is working on the international stage.
But
at least FIFA can say, hey, we were located in Switzerland.
Right. But when I say they're grabbing money from the wrong people, they have both acknowledged they are grabbing money from the wrong people, and they're still grabbing the money from the wrong people.
But Stugatz,
I think that's Dan's overall, and everyone's overall problem.
No, it's not. It's so much more than that,
though. It hasn't just been the acknowledgement, though. Greg Norman's been making excuses.
He has.
And defenses, and doing the washing, Stugatz. Doing the washing, doing the laundering. One manicured toenail at a time, bringing what? I'm just an Aussie. I'm from sports. What's the big deal? But it's not just the greed in it, Stugatz. It's not the commerce in it. It's not, look, of course, Stugatz, please look up Greg Norman's wealth. Please look up the amount of the riches that golf has brought him and continues to bring him because of how much he owns. The idea that at the end, Greg Norman, at the end of their careers, what Greg Norman and what would appear to be someone with a gambling problem, Phil Mickelson, were doing in commerce and greed, which is 12 of us or 15 of us or 20 of us are worth so much that we could conquer the thing that has fed us for a long time. And the way we're going to slay it is with a bone saw.
Norman's net worth is $400
million. Many golf courses
owns giant manicured
land. We can make the argument that it's the worst use of public space in the universe.
Whoa,
we could. It's inefficient use of public space.
You've been hanging around with Billy too much.
What's the matter with you?
Do you think that's wrong? Do you think that's
I know
well?
It's
Billy
wrong.
Would argue it's yeah. just stadiums. Yeah. So,
but golf courses. It seems. I mean, stadiums are so much smaller than golf courses.
There are no public parks near me, and there is a giant golf course stuck in the middle of Aventura where, like, there is literally nowhere to run. There's people elbow to elbow on the sidewalks around this golf course running on a Saturday morning, and there's nowhere else to run.
I mean, if it was up to Billy, it'd just be a field full of complaint booths, right?
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.